In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Just wait for the resurrection, when the ears of the deaf are opened, and the mute tongue shouts for joy. When the blind will see, and the lame will walk, when the dead are raised, and when those still hearts beat once more. Just wait for the resurrection when the sad will rejoice and the weary will be glad, when death will be swallowed up and the curse plucked out of creation, when fears are stilled, when stress dissipates and grief melts away. Just wait for the resurrection when sickness gives way to health, frailty to strength, disease to immortality, when your feet touch golden streets, your lungs breathe heavenly air, and the thunderous angelic hymns echo in your ears. Just wait for the resurrection when your eyes see the Son of God with your own, and you fall down before him who died for you. There is nothing like it. The laughter of children, the embrace of a spouse, the joys that we find in this world, the grandeur of nature, all of it pales in comparison to the heavenly glory that will be revealed in us. These are but a small glimpse of the joy that you will share in heaven. Moses' face faded, but yours will not. God spoke from Sinai for a brief time, and yet you will hear his voice for all eternity. Sinai's theophany is no more, but heaven is forever. Sinai brought death and condemnation for those who broke the law of God. But the ministry of the Spirit is filled with forgiveness, life, and salvation. He takes what is Christ's, and he makes it known to you. And Christ is your resurrection. Christ is your life. Christ is your joy beyond all measure, who brings you into this surpassing joy and glory. He gave to this man who was deaf and mute a little healing, a little restoration, a little resurrection, a small glimpse of what he will do on that last day. All of Christ's healings point ahead to what he will accomplish in his church on that last day. And so he takes the man away from the crowd privately by himself. There is no mistake as to who will perform this miracle, in whom is restoration, in whom is life and forgiveness. He spits and touches the man's tongue, sticks his fingers in the man's ear. There again, there is no mistake as to what Christ will do for this man. He looks up to heaven and sighs. And so there is no mistake as to who sent Christ to carry out life, healing, and restoration. And then he spoke to that deaf man, and that deaf man heard the word ephatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and the glory of the resurrection was seen in his body ever so faintly. Two parts experienced that little resurrection, if you will. Not his hands, not his feet, not his eyes, but his ears and his tongue. What was broken was restored. What sin had ruined, Christ had made whole. His miracles of healing did not last for eternity. Death would soon again bar this man's tongue. Death would soon again fill his ears. All have sinned, therefore all must die. And so this man needed the ears of faith and the tongue of faith. And that does not come through the physical healing that Christ gave. But that came through the preached word. So Christ commanded the crowd with a rather strange command. Don't tell anyone. He did not want them to flock to him for healings. He came to remove pain, suffering, disease, and death, but he would not do it by healing, but he would do it by his cross. So he wanted them to come to listen to his word so that they might have the restoration and the life that the cross would win for them. So today, miracles have ceased, but the word endures forever, preached to every nation under heaven. In the foolishness of the preached word, Christ established his church. His kingdom comes in the Spirit and through the word of the cross. So we do not preach Christ the healer, we preach Christ crucified. For in the crucifixion is the strength, the power, and the glory of God. There, in that crucifixion, the gates of hell are slammed shut and heaven's pearls flung wide open. There, in the word, the preached word, preached by a sinful man who needs the same forgiveness as you. But in that preached word is God's greatest work among you. There, in the word, is Calvary's healing, Calvary's strength, Calvary's resurrection and life. Not just for your ears and for your tongue, but for your entire body. In speaking, in talking, in preaching, and in hearing in faith. No sight, no visible glory, no theophany, but only a sinful man. For faith comes by hearing the word, not by seeing miracles. To the world it's foolishness, and to many Christians it's also foolishness. Deeds, not creeds, they say, which is simply to say, we care more about actions and very little about words. And yet it is through the word that Christ creates faith. Even us, our default position is that preaching is not that special. It's probably underappreciated by us all. At most, we see it as imparting information about a particular text that this gentleman has studied. Or it's a message that is meant to inspire us so we go and live a life for Christ. Now, while both of those are part of preaching, it's not the main thing. And it's not the pastor who chooses to use his words in such a way. But the Spirit moves you to act where and when he pleases. The chief purpose of preaching is to impart life to you. It brings the resurrection of Christ to you. So Christ's greatest work is to preach, not his miracles, but it's to preach. And his miracles were simply to draw attention to himself. So Christ stands among you this day to preach, not to heal, but to preach, for he wants to raise the ears of faith and to loosen the tongue of faith. No theophany, no great majesty or glory, but only a man in whom Christ has placed his word. And yet you are healed by this word. You do not see it, but you believe it. The humble preached word tosses Satan out of heaven and locks those demons in hell. It opens the mouths of angels and they cry out to the Lamb of God. If God were to simply open our eyes to see the multitude of angels that were gathered with us here this day, all centered around that Lamb of God. If God were to open our eyes to see the physical healing that the Word of God brings to us, we'd have to build a far larger church. Man lives by sight, not by faith. And since he does not see anything spectacular or wonderful happening here, he does not come. But we are instructed to live by faith, not by sight. So here, right now among us, stands a great cloud of witnesses, all those who have gone before us in the faith, who have died and yet are not dead, for they live with him who is their life. Here stands the angelic choir, shaking the very foundations of heaven as they sing the Gloria in Excelsis and the Sanctus. Why here? Why them? Because the word is preached here, right now. The word of God has sanctified this place as the house of God, as heaven on earth. Not a word that dedicated windows or altars or a building 40-some years ago, but the word of God that is continually preached here week after week. The word has opened our ears to hear the hymns of heaven and released our tongue to join their glorious song. The word has brought us to him who is the resurrection and the life, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who stands in the midst of his holy altar, ready to impart that life yet again to you. We want a little help in this life, perhaps a little healing, a little bit more strength, a little reprieve from our stress. We're not asking for much, just a little improvement in the way things are going for us. And we come, we sit, we listen, we speak, and we walk out feeling no different and with no visible change. Our Lord Jesus Christ, however, wants to do far more than what we have asked. And he will give to us far more than we can possibly imagine. We simply ask for a little help, a little healing, a little improvement. And he perfects our bodies and purifies our souls. He removes every sickness, every ailment, every disease, and even closes death's gaping jaws. He strengthens our hands and steadies our feet. He opens our ears to hear of his forgiving love and releases our tongue to confess his name. He gives to us eternal dwellings, golden streets, heavenly air, and pearly gates, all by his word. Just wait for the resurrection, and you will see all that the word of God has done for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.